All right. Hey, everybody. Once the final person takes a seat, I'm going to have you all stand back up for the reading of God's word. This guy knew. He's like, it's coming. All right. We're going to be in Luke chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 21. And then is it okay if we double dip today? Two passages? That means I have to preach for 2 hours too. You guys ready for that too? All right. No. We're also going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 as we continue our series titled Seek First, Finding Your Kingdom Purpose. It's on page 1336 or 1402 in your Journey Bible. 1336, 1402 in your Journey Bible. Let's read and then you guys can take a seat. This is the parable of the mustard seed and yeast. This is Jesus describing what his kingdom is like. It says this, "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?' It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Again, he asked, 'What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it was worked all through the dough.'" Jesus describing his kingdom. Now we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verse 42 through 47 in this passage. 1402 in the Journey Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can take that one home with you. It says this. This is describing the early church after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." You guys can be seated. This is the word of the Lord. Who here likes it when a little does a lot? A little does a lot. There are some areas in life where a little does a lot. You're bargain shopping. It's like, man, that much value for that low a price. I like it. There's a couple areas in life when I think about a little doing a lot. There's a couple areas of my life that I think about. One is in like cooking, culinary stuff, right? There's certain ingredients that you can add to a dish. Just a little bit of this ingredient, add it to a dish, and it will elevate the dish, right? For me, one of those is truffle oil. Have you guys ever had truffle oil? You put that on French fries. You can charge me as much as you want for those French fries. I'm going to buy them. And you're like, that's a little rich for my blood, Johnny. I know. Mine too. Another kind of ingredient that I think elevates a dish, and this one's a little bit more controversial, spice, heat, hot sauce. Raise your hand if you're a hot sauce person. I think a little bit of hot sauce, a little bit of hot sauce can do a lot to elevate a dish. I've got some people in the room who agree with me. I've also got some people in the room that are like, ketchup is spicy enough. Thank you very much. No, thank you. Don't need it. A little bit does a lot when it comes to hot sauce. In finances, right? If you're saving for retirement, raise your hand. If you are in retirement, like finances, a little does a lot. You put it away, you put it away, you put it away. You believe in the power of compound interest, and all of a sudden, by the time it's time to retire, it's like, hey, I can do this. A little does a lot. Another area of life that a little does a lot is with kids. Sometimes. Okay, there are some kids where it's like, hey, you know, I work in Genesis Kids, second Sundays of the month, so I'll be in there next week. And there's some kids where it's like, hey, focus up. Hey, pay attention. Hey, focus up. Hey, right here. Come on. Right. Come on. Earth to Johnny. Come on. Come in. That's how I was when I was a kid. It takes a lot to get a little bit of attention out of them. There's other kids, though, where a little does a lot. It's like they can sense your aura. If they're talking to their friend, all it takes is that look. Like, hey. And they're zoned, they're tightened up, they're all in, they're like, oh, okay, you know, and they're locked in for the rest of the lesson. It's awesome when it comes to discipline. A little does a lot. I'm praying that over Theo. that he won't be like me when I was a kid. A little does a lot. And why do I talk about a little doing a lot? Because right now we're in a series titled Seek First, Finding Your Kingdom Purpose. And in this series, we're unpacking kingdom principles. What is the kingdom of God like? And how does the kingdom of God impact different spheres of our lives, right? So we can talk about work. We can talk about the home. Today we're going to talk about community. We're going to talk about how a little does a lot in community. Jesus describes his kingdom as a little bit of yeast mixed into some dough, actually quite a bit of dough, 60 pounds of dough. And he goes, that little bit of yeast will make the bread rise and grow and make big, fluffy loaves. My kingdom is like a little seed that you plant in the ground and you wait and you're patient and all of a sudden it grows up into this massive tree with branches reaching towards the heavens. In the kingdom of God, a little does a lot. And our big idea for today is this. When we trust our little to God's kingdom, he can do a lot in our community. When we trust our little in God's kingdom, he can do a lot in our community. And that's good. And that's important. And that's the way it's always been. When I think about my life, when I started to examine for myself the teachings of Jesus, I wasn't just coming to church because my parents brought me to church, but I started examining for myself the teachings of Jesus. I was a little bit curious. And I'm sure many people in this room can testify as I can, when you come to Jesus, that little bit of curiosity can totally transform and remake your life. Amen? He can transform every facet of your reality when you become united to him. And that's how it was in the early church. The early church did not have a lot, and yet God used them mightily. They had praise, they had prayer, they had dinner plates. But this tiny community that started out in Jerusalem ended up upending the greatest socio-political movement of its day, the Roman Empire, governmental, economic, militaristic, mighty force. And this little group of people with prayer and praise and dinner plates upended the whole thing. God can do a lot with a little bit. And that's important for us because as a community, we can look out into the world around us and we can say, man, there is a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of brokenness in our world, right? Because, in Petoskey in particular, we're facing things. We have challenges, affordable housing, affordable childcare, broken families, people walking through illness and sickness and injury, kids that need adults and mentors in their lives to care for them, invest in them, love them, listen to them. And you can look out at the world around you and you can see the lack of security, the lack of peace, the lack of love. And you can think, okay, this is a lot. Our community, that's a big, nebulous, huge thing. Where do I even start to begin to help with this situation? And it can be overwhelming. But I believe that when we trust the little bit that we have to God and his kingdom, he can do a lot in our community. Do you believe that? Do you believe that average, everyday Christians can be used supernaturally by God, even in the little things? Sitting across from somebody at coffee, serving in the craziness that is Wednesday nights here at the Genesis Center with our middle school group. Shameless plug. Letting a neighbor borrow your pickup truck to buy a washer or a dryer. Taking extra time in the checkout line with somebody that you want to check in with. You don't just ask, how are you doing? Oh, good, great, have a great day. But you actually listen to how they respond. Delivering meals to families that are dealing with injuries. Cheering on high schoolers at sporting events. Praying with somebody who just received some really bad news at work. Do you believe that these things, these small acts of kindness in the community, can have a big impact on the kingdom of God? When we trust God with our little, he can do a lot in our midst. I will not despise the day of small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see the work started. And I know that there's some people in this room that when they hear a message about impacting the community, they go, yes, that's what I'm about. I'm a community person. Let's get out there. Let's get it done. Charge off. Let's stay up till 11:30 p.m. at the football game that almost got rained out. I'm there. I'm about it. We got to impact our community. There are people like that in this room. And then there are other people in this room that are not like that. Right? I think we call the first person, first group, those are called extroverts. The other group, the people that are like, yeah, Johnny, I'd rather stay home, Those are called introverts. We've got both in this room. If you're an introvert, you've already checked out. If you're an extrovert, you're like, get to the part where we can go out and do it, right? And I think that there are different weaknesses, different tendencies that both groups of people gravitate towards when it comes to community. Warnings that I need to give to both groups before we start out and apply our message. This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says in his work on community, Life Together. Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. Each by itself has profound perils and pitfalls. The one who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings. And the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation, and despair. Real light reading for this Sunday morning. Amen. But let me summarize what we're talking about here. Introverts, extroverts, you both will trend in equal and opposite extremes when it comes to the kingdom and engaging your community. Okay? This is what introverts will think. Graham, you can put this slide up there. If I only have a little, I can't give what I've got. This is what an extrovert will say. I will give all I got even if I take God's spot. Okay, so you can trend toward action or inaction, and both can be dangerous when it comes to coming into our community. We can see the great need for kingdom in the community and become overwhelmed and do nothing. We can see the great need for the kingdom in our community, and we can try to do everything. Listen, the one who did this perfectly was Jesus Christ. He had a heart. He had compassion for the crowds around him. But he was also about that solitude, going into the lonely place early in the morning to be alone with God. My question for you today is, where do you trend on these two extremes? Is no a word that you never use? Is no a word that you always use when it comes to entering into community? Are your days jam-packed with activity and work and service and meetings and gatherings because, hey, they have to happen, right? I got to get it done. Or are you somebody who is like, no, I don't have a lot, so I'm going to protect the time that I have. Self-care is the most important thing to me, and please just don't ask me to get involved. Both can go wrong. I remember being challenged as a leader, because if you're a leader, I think you trend more towards activity than towards solitude. I remember being challenged by a pastor named Ed Stetzer. He said, be careful as a leader not to take from the people around you the work God has called you to do together. That's kind of the heart of this message today, is this is a work that we can't do alone. We must do it together. And so if you're somebody who trends towards activity, you got to let other people come along. Some people think it's my effort, my work, and God will only get a lot when I do a lot. This is a dangerous posture in the kingdom. The inverse is also true. And this is something that I'm gravitating towards now that I have a child. I used to be like a let's go do it kind of person. Now that I have a kid, I'm like, let's stay home. I need to deal with my family first. I'm barely holding that together. How am I going to go out and impact the community? But God doesn't call us to self-preservation and to comfort. He calls us to give what we have, trusting that his grace and goodness is enough to bring the kingdom to our community. So church, if you're involved in nothing in your community, that's a problem. Church, if you're involved in literally everything in your community, first and foremost, stop right now. Breathe in. Breathe out. It's called a pause. That's called a rest. You should take one. And if you don't do that, it's a problem. Let him who cannot be alone in community, let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who cannot be in community beware of being alone. Each has its own profound perils and pitfalls. We have to trust that God can do a lot with our little when we give it to him. So I want to take you for the rest of our time together through three observations that I see in the early church. Three things that the early church did really, really well. And they didn't have a lot, they only had a little, but God used them mightily. First thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. First point, the early church was devoted, not dabbling. Committed, not just connected. We live in an age of loose connection. You realize that? The internet, social media. I have 1,800 friends on Facebook. How many of those count in real life? Not 1800 worth, I'll tell you that. We live in a place, in an area, in a space and time that we can be loosely connected. Our dating culture today, loosely connected, not committed. Dabbling, but not devoted. My wife, when I asked her out on a date, she's like, finally, you got it together. Come on, dude. We have a world that says you can be anywhere, everywhere, all at once. Try it, do it, experience it. That's the most important thing. More is always better. Whether it's dating culture, whether it's the internet, whether it's retirement culture, we can live for ourselves and we can dabble in lots of things without being committed to anything. If you have any questions about the retirement culture, you can email me. My email is norm@genesispetoskey.com. I'm kidding. But we need to be committed. It's easy. You can travel, see the world, but like, does anybody expect you home for dinner? We live in a world where we can be in another country tomorrow, amazing freedom, but oftentimes it comes with a loneliness and a lack of expectation from anybody around you that you'll even be home for dinner. We're encouraged to dabble in lots of things and connect with lots of people, but not commit or devote ourselves to anything. There's a book. It's called On the Road with St. Augustine. It's by this great guy named James K.A. Smith. It's a spirituality for restless hearts. And he says this: do we tell ourselves that we're just going in order to guard against ever having the disappointment of never arriving? Do we call the road home to avoid the pain of never being welcomed in? See, I think it's easy to kind of live a spiritually nomadic life where you get to just touch down in various spheres of life without really ever digging into any one of them. I experienced this when I was in college, and it reached a breaking point when I was in my junior year. I was in so many different programs. I was involved in so many different initiatives. I was on so many different boards, but I've never been more lonely and isolated in my entire life. Acts 2, verse 42, says that the early church was devoted. This word is proskaterero. It means unto steadfastness. It's also used when they're racing towards something. That's what we want to be about more than anything else. We want to be devoted. The early church didn't do everything. They did a couple simple things really, really well, and we're going to talk about what those are in just a moment. But to be devoted is to say there are certain non-negotiable parts of my everyday life. We can take that slide down. We'll put it up in a little bit. There is a certain level of predictability and rhythm towards my days. I'm moving unto steadfastness. And this is something that I don't do well. I want to pray daily with my wife. That's something that I'm aiming towards. That's a decision that I want to make. I want to invest in my family every single day. I want to be in Scripture every single day. There are certain things that I want to do every day, and I'm aiming at those. You have to examine, what are you steadfast in? What are you devoted to? What's a non-negotiable for you? And are you bringing the kingdom of God with you into those spaces and places? Because the things that you are devoted to are the things that you will build community in. I don't try to build community at the gym that I go to, but I'm there every day. And so guess what? I know people. I try to like look mean and angry and keep my headphones in and just don't disturb me. I want to get this done. But like it or not, the things that you're devoted to, those are the areas you will build a community in. And that's a good thing. It's a blessing. So if you talk to me at the gym, that's fine. Just let me get back to my work afterwards. What are the big things in your life? And what I'm not trying to say is that it has to be church all the time. It can be sports. It can be a hobby or a group or an interest group that you're part of. But you have to ask yourself, in that community, am I bringing the kingdom of God in there with me? Am I moving towards him in the midst of that group? Am I growing? Am I serving? Is there any predictable rhythm to my life at all? Or am I dabbling and not devoted, connected, but not committed? It's a good question in our world today. One of my favorite groups that I'm a part of, just an image of what devotion looks like in my mind when I think about it. It's not something that I started, but it's something that I'm a part of, and I love it. Friday mornings at North Perk Coffee, there is a group of probably 6 to 8 high school guys who are there every single week at 7 a.m. to pray, drink coffee, read the word together. And yeah, it is awesome. You guys could clap for them real quick if you don't mind. Some of them are in this room. It's beautiful. And I was talking about my message because we get to talk about life when we gather together on Friday mornings. And they were like, that's what this is. This is devotion. And it does a lot in our lives. It's important to us. We care about it. One of them said, we break bread together. He took his scone, cracked it over his head. Got crumbs all over the place. This is my challenge here. Commit, devote, be consistent. And if you're too busy to commit, devote, and be consistent, examine your life. Maybe it's time to jettison some things that aren't building into the kingdom of God in your life. Thunder. Second one. Second point. We're moving right through this. Number two, the early church gathered large and gathered small and showed hospitality to all. The first sermon, you guys realize the first sermon that was ever given after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, 3,000 people were added to the church in Jerusalem. That's quite a launch, okay? If the early church was around today, we would call it a mega church, right? That's what it was. It was a huge church. But and the only place that they could really gather in those numbers in the city of Jerusalem was in the temple. The temple was the only place that could house that many people. But they also met in homes. They gathered large and they gathered small. I was talking to somebody this week and they're like, are you worried? Because like church attendance is down like across, you know, the Western world. Church attendance is down. Are you worried about it? Like the groups aren't as big as they used to be. And I'm like, no, I'm not worried about it. That's not what it's about. I was actually talking to somebody else and they were saying, well, you know what? Like those big groups, those are the problem. You actually have to only have like house churches, and really all churches should sell their buildings and just meet in homes. That's what the church should do. It's the only place you can find real community. And I look at like the early church and I see both. They gathered large and they gathered small. I could think of two formative experiences from my life as a kid growing up that really spoke to me about what the kingdom of God looks like, what the body of Christ looks like in our world today. One of them, it was a huge gathering. I went to a youth conference in Chicago when I was in high school, and we met with youth from around the nation in an arena. And coming from a little church in northern Michigan down to Chicago and seeing Christian young people that could fill out an arena, that spoke to my soul. I looked around, I saw thousands of people around me, and I thought, I'm part of something that is bigger than myself. This is huge. This is important. I want to be in on this. It cultivated my imagination that Jesus, he's reaching people that don't look like me, sound like me, act like me, live by me. But we're part of something bigger than us. That's what gathering large does. I also remember another formative experience when I was a young adult. I was looking for community, and somebody invited me to a game night in a church basement where only 8 people showed up. It was a small group. It was a small gathering. And I don't even think we, like, read the Bible. But for me, it showed me what community looks like on a small scale. That people really wanted to listen to me, really wanted to hear from me, really wanted me there in that room with them. Genesis Church, we are meant to gather large, like we are right now. This is gathering large right here. Sunday mornings are a great picture of gathering large. We're also meant to gather small. Community groups, prayer quads, conversation over coffee throughout the week. Man up is this week. Dudes, if you're a dude, show up. Come on. Real women, prayer quads. These are vital spaces of community and growth. Don't neglect them. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 lists 4 things that the early church was devoted to. Just 4 things that the early church was devoted to. Teaching of the apostles, meeting together, prayer, and klosos hortos. That's Greek for the breaking of bread. Do you realize that the seemingly small act of hospitality, of sharing a meal with people, can bring the kingdom of God to your community? And I think this is important because in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, there's a couple different things mentioned, but only breaking bread is mentioned twice. Praise, yep, we got that. Prayer, yep, we got that. Giving, yep, we got that. Breaking bread, hey, put that in there twice. That's important to the mission. That's important to the kingdom of God. Hospitality, conversation, and a meal is simply one of the greatest ways and most often neglected ways that we can bring the kingdom into our community. It's frequently overlooked in our world today. We like programs, we like processes, but we got to meet with people where they are. This is what Rosaria Champagne Butterfield says in her book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Our post-Christian neighbors need to hear and see and taste and feel authentic Christianity. Hospitality spreading from every Christian home that includes neighbors in prayer, food, friendship, childcare, dog walking, all the daily matters upon which friendships are built. In a world of programs and processes, in a world of systems and classes and goals and assignments, in a world where pragmatism and efficiency reduce our worth to our ability to be productive and do stuff, sharing a table is a gift of dignity, a gift of care and consideration that can be revolutionary to the watching world. This is what Andy Crouch says in his book, The Life We're Looking For, Reclaiming Relationship in a Technological World. All real change starts with the number of people who can sit around a table in a single household. Do you believe that? Do you believe that entering into a meal together is a way that God can impact your community? Last point, then we're going to close. Sound good? How are we doing? All right, excellent. Is this helping anybody today? All right, let's keep going. The early church only had a little, but their little was freely given. Do you realize that the early church did not have as much as we have today? I mean, they had the Holy Spirit. They had the same Jesus. He was on earth a lot closer to their time than he was to ours. But they did not have the history. They did not have the money. They did not have the reputation of the modern church. Look around us today. Our church is built on the shoulders, on the sacrifices of thousands of years of Christians who came before us. Christians who didn't have much, but gave what they had to the glory of God. I think it's amazing that Jesus chooses us to be his agents of change, chooses us to be his hope bringers in the world. You realize God is God, right? He can pick anybody he wants. He picked us. God is God. He could make the Avengers real if he wanted to. He could use the Hulk to evangelize, and we'd all show up because that dude, he's impressive. Right? He could do that. God could do that if he wanted. Just imagine. Like he could make an Iron Man and be like, that's my chosen instrument of change in the world, Iron Man. He chose us. He chose average, everyday people. Right? He's God. He's all powerful. He can do it if he wants. I can't get over that fact. But he chose us. He chose me. He loves you. He gave his son on the cross to die for us so that we might bring his hope to the world around us. And this is where I want to close. Our community is best when it walks like Jesus in humility, trusting that small actions can bring big change to our community. We can bring hope. We can bring love. We can bring faith. We can bring encouragement to the people around us, even in the small things. Christ didn't come to form an exclusive community. He didn't come to form a well-connected community. He didn't come to form a prestigious or wealthy or progressive or conservative community, but rather a community that would simply offer the little that it had to his kingdom to build out and hope for the rest of the community around it. So I want to close with this. I want to ask you this question. What is the little that you can offer to God for the sake of his kingdom and our community? Is it service? Is it hospitality? Is it scheduling slightly more margin in your day to really stop and listen when you ask the obligatory question, how are you, to somebody in your world? Look them in the eyes. Wait for their answer. Don't be just satisfied with good. Say, like, really, how are you doing? I mean, don't be creepy with it, but how are you doing? Listen to the answer. Can God use even that? Yes, because Jesus says, my kingdom is this small, imperceptible thing that grows up and turns into this glorious bulwark of righteousness that moves into all of eternity. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's all of our actions compounded, all of our actions given in faith, all of our action given over to God and his kingdom to reach out to the world around us. So as we close today, I just want to give you three simple next steps, things you can try in the week to come. First of all, first next step, examine what you're committed to. Examine what you're committed to. I think a lot of people in our world today are overcommitted to maybe less than important stuff. I know that's true of me. I can be overcommitted to less than important stuff. I don't want to just say yes to good things. I want to say yes to God's things. And that requires me to slow down and examine, what am I giving my life to? What am I devoted to? What is a non-negotiable part of my day that I cannot live without? Is it something that's building the kingdom? Is it something that's investing into the community or not? Examine what you're committed to. Do less. God bless. That's one of my favorite social media tags. Number two, show hospitality to someone in close proximity this week. Show hospitality to a neighbor this week. Invite them over. Take them out to lunch. Slow down. Sit across from somebody. Look them in the eye. Raise your hand if you're like, I can do that this week. I can invite somebody over this week. Try it. Show hospitality to a neighbor. Last one. Try gathering small. Come to a community group gathering. This week we've got Man Up. In a couple weeks we've got Real Women. If you're a middle schooler, we have middle school on Wednesday nights. Shameless plug. If you're a high schooler, we have high school group on Sunday nights. Shameless plug. But try gathering small. If you're here on Sundays, we are glad that you are with us. I would encourage you to have a multi-dimensional community of faith, where you gather large in areas like this and you gather small in homes, over coffee, in a community group. Give it a try if you haven't before. It's excellent for enriching your faith, growing your community, loving your neighbor. What would it look like, Genesis Church, if we trusted Jesus at his word, that his kingdom just needs our small actions to make a big impact? How would that change the way that we live? How would that change the way that we navigate our weeks? How would that change our interactions with strangers, with friends, with even church-going community members? Just imagine with me us trusting God with the small things, knowing he can do big things. Diane, your prayer made me cry because I thought to myself, like, there are people that are lost. And when I think about the lost people in my life who are far from God, it's like, I don't even know where to start with some of them. I don't even know, you know, what's the best way to engage them. But I can surrender that fear or that worry or that overwhelmed feeling that I have over to God, knowing that if we all do little things, if we all do our best to offer to God what we have, no one is too far from God. He can chase them down. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Will you stand with me as we bow our heads and pray? Father God, thank you for this thundery, dark morning. Thank you for your word that never returns void. Thank you for your people gathered together. We do not take for granted the ability to gather together under one roof, raising praise, prayer, and hope towards you. I just pray that in this week to come, God, we are people who look at what we have and offer it to you. That in that, it might not seem like much in the moment, but in that, your kingdom will invade the brokenness, the darkness of our world. We believe that, Jesus, you and your gospel is the only answer to the brokenness that we all experience. So God, may we cling to that, may we hope in that, may we share that in our world. God, I pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.